Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Come on, get up!
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Golden Great. Steph, back and better than ever. We'll tell you why he has more at stake in the finals than anyone. Plus, what is the holdup? Words of warning in Baltimore. Is Lamar versus the Ravens about to be the biggest story in the NFL? And can Miami turn the heat back on to force a game 7 tonight? We are loaded up. It's a fabulous Friday edition of Get Up, and it starts right now from the Seaport. Delighted to be here and delighted to have them with me. The one thing I know for sure is that I am in jeopardy at some point today. Bartholomew Scott, the one and only Pat Bev, both in the house today. We got tons to get to, and we have a big squad put together to get to it with. Take a look who's up. VC is here this morning. Brian Windhorst is in Boston. Mike Tannenbaum fresh off the Peloton. Jeremy Fowler is breaking stories. Let's do this thing. Only one place to begin. Last night in the city by the bay, Pat Bev. Game of the night. Mavs, Warriors, game 5. Golden State, perfect at home this postseason. And a big part of it, Pat Bev, is the defense. Watch them working here hard on Luka. Now they're going the other way. Steph Curry finding Klay Thompson. Thompson knocks it down. The Splash Brothers are back, and the Warriors have the early lead later in the first. Mavs down by 4. Doncic spinning. Again, the defense is there. Draymond on top of it. Doncic 2 of 10 in the first quarter, and he's frustrated. Mavs down by 5, and then it gets worse. Second quarter, the Warriors are up by 10. Oh, Klay Thompson feeling it. Golden State by 13, and they're just warming up. 2 minutes left in the half. The lead is 16. Klay again. He had 19 at the break. Warriors by 17 at halftime. Struggles continue for Doncic in the third, working in the post, and unsuccessful. Here we go. Take a look at Draymond. Watch the fancy pass. Oh, he's going behind the back. Klay knocks it down. It's a 21-point game. Doncic frustrated as he can feel the season slipping away on the road in a game 5. But Luka would respond. Mavs down 16. 2 minutes left in the quarter. Doncic gets it to go. It's a 13-point game. Couple possessions later, it's Doncic working again. Look how locked in he is. Gets in the painted area and gets that one to fall. He had 10 points during a 15-2 run that cut it to a 10-point game going to the fourth. Fourth quarter, now 3 minutes left. Warriors by 12. Dallas, desperation. Klay Thompson, the ball found him all night long. He finished with 32, 8 threes. Warriors by 15, and then here comes the dagger from Steph. He had just 15, but those put it away. The Warriors win game 5, and they're back in the NBA Finals. Steph Curry wins the first ever Irvin Magic Johnson Trophy as the MVP. And Klay, after all he missed, was emotional.
It's just hard to put into words, man. Like, I dreamt of this day during some dog days. And to be here, I'm so thankful for our squad, man. They started the season so incredibly well, allowed us to finish out strong, and we are 4 wins away from a championship.
For our team, our guys, especially the core group, Dre and Steph, Klay, Loon, Andre, to be part of that 6 times in 8 years, I don't even know what to say. It just takes an enormous amount of skill and determination and work.
Well, if anyone would know, he would, because he was on the last team to do it. At least he was on the final 3 of those Bulls teams, which is the last team that went 6 times in 8 years. Steve Kerr, of course, a part of the second three-peat there. The Lakers have done so twice during their dynastic runs, and then you got to go back to the Bill Russell Celtics of the 60s. So to go to finals 6 times in 8 years is a remarkable accomplishment, but of course the big prize is still 4 wins away. And Pat Bev, I will start with you. What is your number one takeaway from last night and from these Western Conference finals?
Well, outside of basketball, my biggest takeaway is the ownership for the Golden State Warriors. I think you have to give their ownership a ton of credit. Guys got hurt, guys went down. Klay Thompson got hurt, got re-injured. They didn't break it up like some owners do. Mm-hmm. They kept it together. They kept their core together. And on the court, I don't think we haven't even mentioned his name. Looney has been fantastic for them. I mean, the small things, you know, starting the game off with a bucket, you know, that gets confidence, all the offensive rebounds he had. He guarded Doncic throughout the playoff series. So, man, I like Golden State. I've liked Golden State two series ago, and I still like them now.
Yeah, and Kevon, all the stars they have on that team, Kevon Looney, not a name you expect to be saying a lot, but he does do a lot of the little things. Vince Carter, how about you? What's your number one, pardon me, takeaway from the Warriors back in the finals?
Klay Thompson, period. That's it. It's just what Klay Thompson has gone through, what he has really done for this team, and the team really empowering him and welcoming him back to the lineup, and him just coming out. His first game was emotional, I think, for all players, seeing him come back and have that big game and get a dunk the first game, to where he is now and doing what he did. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, he hasn't been playing well in the first half. But he understood the moment. He understood it was a closeout game, and he set the tone for the Golden State Warriors last night, shooting lights out, 19 points in the first half, and just having an unbelievable Klay Thompson typical night. It was great to see, and he deserves a lot of credit and kudos.
It does almost feel like he is their bellwether. When he is hot, they are pretty much unstoppable offensively. How about it, Wendy? How about these Warriors 6 times in 8 years?
The joy that they were expressing as a franchise, especially the team-wide joy for Steph Curry winning that Magic Johnson trophy. Mm. He has been maligned in his career because he hasn't gotten that Finals MVP. And I realize this isn't the NBA Finals Bill Russell trophy, but the reason they reacted that way was because they know that's been on his shoulders. And having been around this team in 2019, when those injuries in the finals happened and their organization in general was fatigued from the Durant saga, knowing he was going to leave, they were just done, emotionally just totally voided at that time. Seeing their cup refilled and having the joy going back to the finals, that was very great to see last night.
I'm with you, and I think it goes back to the first thing that Pat Bev said, which is a lot of teams would have just said, you know what, we are spent, we've done all we can do, let's start this thing over. But they chose to rebuild around that core and be patient and all that, and obviously it pays off in a huge way. Quickly, and we'll have much more to say about Steph and the Warriors as we go, but I do want to touch on Luka. So Luka Doncic averaged almost 32 points a game in this postseason. He was brilliant. Here's what he said last night after his team was eliminated.
I don't like losing, especially not like this. I play like terrible. I'm really proud of this team, man. Nobody had us here, but I promise we fought till end, you know. I think you can see a championship team the Warriors are, and we gotta learn how to be that.
Right, so he's 23 years old, and he clearly is one of the budding superstars in the NBA. What are the right things to say about Luka this morning, Pat Bev, after this run comes to a close?
You got to give him a lot of credit. He's absolutely right. No one in the NBA counted Dallas to be in the Western Conference Finals. He was there. He showed up. He showed up when his team needed him. He hit big shots. He didn't cave in. Down 3-0, come back, get a win. He let it all hang. He didn't go out without any without any bullets in his gun. So you have to give him a lot of credit. You have to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit for first year with the team. Obviously, you know, no Tim Hardaway Jr. So they won entirely healthy. So get his Dallas team a lot of credit. They played well. They fought. They just came up short.
No, I've been on the road, VC, with these NBA playoffs, and I got people, even though I'm covering the East, I got people walking up to me in both these cities talking about Luka every single night. He has really opened up a lot of eyes as to just how good he is. What is your takeaway from him as his run comes to an end?
Well, Greeny, as they should. He is for real. He's the real deal. I mean, you see some of the best defenders in the league say, hey, Luka, you have Pat Bev sitting there, and we say, hey, man, that's not an easy task to guard him and take him out of his what he wants to do. I mean, he dictates game. He's a believer. He's a fighter. He's a winner. And he willed his team. I mean, you can see him empowering his other guys to get a win. And what he did in the third quarter was pretty spectacular on the road, almost single-handedly bringing them back into contention, giving them a chance to win. So Luka is right there. They're a center away and maybe some shooting, just small tweaks away from being a good team. And last thing, I want to give some props as well to my former teammate Jason Kidd, because he got a second opportunity at this, And he's taking advantage of it, for one. For two, I mean, in-game adjustments, game-to-game adjustments that he made, giving his team a chance to win. It was phenomenal, and he deserves some love, too.
That's well said. I think it feels like a year ago, but them knocking out Phoenix, I think, stunned a lot of people. That said, Windy, absolutely, it is one thing to make a great run, and they certainly did that. But taking that next step is a big one. What do they need?
Yeah, I totally can feel where Nico Harrison, the general manager, and Mark Cuban are today. They are so happy to advance this far, and they know that the work in front of them is so challenging. Next time Luka gets back to the conference finals, whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now, he's got to have a better team. He is the hope diamond. What setting do you put him in? As Vince said, the position that they're missing is the position that they didn't fill with Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis is the player, that type of player that they have. So could they possibly figure out a way to get a player like DeAndre Ayton? This is what executives wonder. Would be very hard with their assets do they have. Is it possible that they could pry away a player like Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz? Those are the types of players that if you put next to Luka, somebody who could defend the rim and also take some pressure off him in a pick and roll situation offensively, that would potentially take this team to the next level. Getting that secondary force is the major challenge for this team, but they just don't have a whole lot of assets because they're still out of first-round draft pick from trading Porzingis, and they don't have attritable cap space, and most of their assets are in the perimeter. So a great spot to be in. Next step, very hard.
No, it's an interesting way of looking at it. What they need is what they thought they were getting when they got Kristaps Porzingis, and that's what they don't have, and it's not that easy to find. If they were easy to find, every team would have one. We'll see if the Mavericks can get themselves over the top. All right, we're just getting rolling here. We got to get to the Eastern Conference. So much more to say about Steph, and then we got to get to this. Lamar Jackson skipping the Ravens' voluntary workouts. You'll hear why this might be a much bigger deal than you think it is, and we'll get to this. Hey, Pat Bev, all signs point to Zion being healthy and ready to go for the start of next season. So why is his future in New Orleans a huge question mark? We'll tell you as we continue. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up. Hey, Bart Scott, I want you to take a look at this play that was made in the Phillies-Braves game last night. It was made by a security guard in the dugout.
Four.
Look at this catch.
Oh, man, that looked like Vince Carter right there as the band major walking around, you know, leading the band out. That's what I'm talking about right there, man. I'm good hands. Yeah, Vince, I just remind me of you right there, baby. High knees.
It's a one-handed grab of the bat.
Nonchalant, too. That's how Vince used to do it. Son.
That's a heck of a play. Well, let me get Jeremy Fowler in here and let's run the hurry up. We got a lot of big NFL stories, beginning with Baker Mayfield. Jeremy, go.
Yes, Greeny, here's the latest. I'm hearing that teams believe the Browns will pay part of Baker Mayfield's $18.8 million in guaranteed money to facilitate a trade, but not all of it, and maybe not even half of it. And that's the issue. Teams need them to cover a lot of it. And there's some injury guarantees, some financial cap relief that the team could get that they're hoping that Mayfield would lessen his guarantees that he doesn't want to do. So those are some of the hangups. This could heat up closer to mandatory minicamp because Mayfield doesn't want to be there at that point, a natural breaking off point. Then we got Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm being told that teams are not going to entertain a trade until he is healthy, and that could not be until July, even later on in the summer, because he had the shoulder issue. Teams don't want to entertain it until they know he's cleared. They also believe that the 49ers could end up releasing him because they'll be off the hook for a $7.5 million injury guarantee. That helps facilitate things. Either way, it's Trey Lance's show, it appears, right now for the summer. Let's go to Lamar Jackson. He, of course, is missing OTAs. I'm told the Ravens are not overly concerned, at least not yet. If he presses the issue into June, into mandatory minicamp, that changes the dynamic. But right now, things are cordial. They are not contentious. Lamar Jackson has said that, hey, I'll see you guys again soon. He could even still show up for OTAs. There are a few weeks here. He could pop in at any day. But this is believed to be contract related because in the past, Lamar Jackson has been in uniform in Baltimore for OTAs.
All right. This continues to be the story that will not go away. And every day that goes by, I think it becomes more and more important. Yesterday here on the show, Lewis Riddick had strong words of advice for Lamar when asked about what Jackson should do regarding to OTAs. Listen.
Absolutely not. And I've said this numerous times as well. If he was being represented by an agency or by an agent, I would expect with 100% certainty that they would advise him not to attend anything, not to step foot on a football field until he has the kind of financial security that is coming his way. It just would not be smart in any way, shape, or form.
All right, so that's the perspective that we get from a lot of players. Again, Mike T is up with us today, but let me get Bart Scott in here. And again, the Ravens are your old team, and so I know this is personal to you as well. We just heard Lewis Riddick say he shouldn't step foot on a field without a new contract. What do you say?
I think he will, though. I think he'll show up to OTAs. I understand that, listen, he has a lot of money on the line, but when players are using this position, they take out insurance policies on themselves. Lamar Jackson is betting on himself, much like we saw Joe Flacco. He doesn't want his lasting images in his contract negotiations to be that he couldn't answer the bell for the last four games, because that's the narrative. That's the elephant in the room. Like, yes, we understand that he deserves the money. He's going to get a lot of money, but how long? Length of contract? Because you're concerned because the ball is in his hand so much that eventually he can have a catastrophic type of injury. So I think Lamar Jackson is trying to prove that he can come back, play a full season, and then also not have 13 interceptions like he had last year. We understand what the task was last year, him carrying the team, but he withered a little bit and he turned the ball over. He wants to put a great season together, maybe hopefully win a Super Bowl like Joe Flacco and then cash all his chips in.
Let me ask the general manager of my team, and that's Mike T. How do you see this? Because it's confounding.
It's concerning that they have not negotiated. There's one thing to have bumps in the road in negotiation, but Greeny, the fact that he has non-engagement is a big concern. So it's destabilizing if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, and here's why. If you're trying to attract players in free agency, coaches, whatever it is, they always want to know two things. Tell me about the head coach's contract and the quarterback's contract. The fact that he's about to be a free agent is destabilizing. If I'm the Ravens, I fly down to Florida, I sit down with him, his mom, and whomever else, and I don't leave the room without getting a deal done. That's how important it is.
Doesn't it feel, however, like the template is there, right? The Deshaun Watson contract feels as though it is sort of the new standard. Does the fact that this has not gotten done or that they don't even seem to be, well, let me ask Jeremy first, does that just suggest to one who's paying attention from the outside that the Ravens aren't offering in that? Because it seems if the Ravens were willing to go there, there wouldn't really be a whole lot to talk about.
Well, that's part of the negotiation. They're hoping to sit down, see what Lamar wants, and they can try to address it. They haven't even really gotten that far yet. But Greeny, I've talked to several executives who believe the Ravens are well positioned because they can go year to year here at a discount. He's due $23 million this year. Next year, the franchise tag would be roughly $31 million projected. That's well below Lamar Jackson's market. So if he wants to continue to wait, that benefits the team in some ways.
Well, that's, Mike T, who does this benefit? How is this thing working out and why?
Yeah, I don't see that scenario playing out because if you're a team, you don't want to franchise your quarterback. You can franchise any other position, but not the quarterback. So if I'm Lamar Jackson, I simply walk in and say, hey, Deshaun Watson got $230 million. The good news for you, Mr. Bisciotti, is I'm not going to ask for 5 cents more, but guess what? I'm not taking 5 cents less. No. I've been in league MVP. I've been impeccable off the field. That's the bill. If you don't want to pay it, somebody else will. And here's another interesting nuance, Greeny, which is this. Look for a hold in, not a hold out, meaning I think Lamar would show up, but when they go out for their first competitive drill in practice, as Lewis Riddick alluded to yesterday, I would be floored if he would go out there. You know, we saw that with Jalen Ramsey, his back tightened up. So there's really many tentacles to this story yet to unfold.
So, Bart, how does this thing play out?
Listen, I love Lamar Jackson, but there are questions about his game. Listen, this is an organization, a team that put their entire offense and built around his unique skill set. It's not just like Lamar Jackson is plug and play. You have to have a specific type of offense and system to really highlight his gifts and what makes him so unique. So, listen, I think the Ravens are positioned well. He didn't answer the bell. You know, we know that they'll give him the contract. The hard part is because he's his own agent, usually an agent would already be negotiating. You'll be at practice. Be like, we'll handle it, just show up, right, like Jalen Ramsey did. But what happens is, you know, feelings get hurt because, you know, you have to tell agents things that really hurt players' feelings. We saw this in baseball with Dellin Patances, where he was so distraught that that relationship was never repairable. Let's see if Lamar Jackson can handle and stomach some of the negative things and concerns that the Ravens have about him in the future, because we don't know if he's built for the long haul. That's why I don't know if I can give him a 10-year deal, because we're talking about him to 35, and if you're stuck with a contract that's guaranteed, you can't move on. He didn't answer the bell last year.
Bottom line, Bart Scott, are you giving him the same contract that Deshaun Watson got in Cleveland? If you're making this decision in Baltimore, are you giving him that? But here's $230 million. Go.
No, well, I got to have some type of team option at the end of that deal, or I need to have some type of injury, skill deprivation, some type of language at the back end of that draft, you know, to protect myself. Listen, they like Tyler Huntley, right? And you don't know if Lamar can stay healthy. That's the big question that none of us knows. It's not like he's the biggest guy and he has the ball in his hand so much. All it takes is one RG3 knee injury, and he may be compromised and not be the player that we used to seeing him be.
And that's why anyone who thinks, oh, this doesn't feel like such a big deal, I'm starting to think you're wrong. I was on the other side of this thing. I'm starting to think this is becoming a bigger and bigger deal, so keep a close eye on it. Meanwhile, speaking of big deals, Eastern Conference semifinals, National Hockey League last night, Rangers and Hurricanes, huge game. Hurricanes back at home, halfway through the second, we're tied at one. Hurricanes opportunity on the power play. Teuvo Teravainen, a pass at the point, a quick wrister, and it's good. Take another look here. Seth Jarvis with a great feed, and Teravainen does the rest. Hurricanes take a 2-1 lead. Now we're late in the third. The score is the same, and it's Andrei Svechnikov. Take a look at the steal in the neutral zone, and watch the moves that he makes on Shesterkin. Spectacular on the backhander. Bart can't hardly watch. Hurricanes win it 3-1. They take a 3-2 series lead as they are a win away, from advancing on to the conference finals, and we will see if they're able to do it with Game 6, Eastern Conference Semis, tomorrow, Hurricanes-Rangers, Madison Square Garden. It's 8 Eastern here on ESPN and the ESPN app. Again, Carolina up 3-2. Back to basketball next. Warriors in the finals. Celtics one win away. Pat Bev says it's Golden State's title to lose. I'm sure everyone agrees. Spoiler alert, no we don't. That's next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most unbiased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah, night before.
All the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch? I guess that says it all. Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
All right, if you're just joining us here, Mavericks Warriors last night in San Francisco, Game 5, Steph Curry and the Warriors hadn't lost at home these entire playoffs, and they were a win away from the finals. That's Luka Doncic, who has done everything he could in this postseason, but last night he just couldn't do it against that defense, and the Warriors turned that in transition. They're so deadly. Klay Thompson, he had it going last night. When Klay is going, this team is so tough to stop offensively. Klay, 19 in the first half, and the Warriors had a 17-point halftime lead. The struggles for Luka would continue into the third. He shot just 2-for-10 in the first half, and then you got the going in the other direction, and take a look at Draymond. Oh, the fancy pass behind the back. Warriors a 21-point lead in the third, and they could smell it in San Francisco. And Doncic clearly frustrated. Fourth quarter now, 3 minutes remaining after Dallas had made a run late in the third to give themselves some hope and some life, but it was just too much Clay. He was 8 of 16 from 3, 32 points. Golden State pulling away, and then Steph Curry, corner 3. Quiet night by his standards, 15 points, but he does win the first ever Magic Johnson Trophy, his Western Conference Finals MVP. The Warriors back in the championship round. Steph, talk to me.
This is a blessing. Obviously, it's a team effort to get back here, what Draymond said, for us to be out the mix for the last 2 years and to be where we belong, back in the finals. We know this isn't the ultimate goal, but we got to celebrate this because all we went through these last 3 years. So.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the injuries and everything else. And look at the resume that Steph Curry is building for himself. A three-time champion, and he's 4 wins away from adding to that. Two-time league MVP. The one thing missing from this list, he's never been named the finals MVP, and that's why Wendy, who's with us this morning along with Vince Carter and the great Pat Bev, made the point earlier today that winning that Western Conference Finals MVP trophy felt like something for Steph. And he's 4 wins away. And I opened the show this morning, Pat Bev.
Uh-huh.
By saying no one may have more at stake in the next couple of weeks than Steph Curry. If he adds that finals MVP, if they win another championship, I think we have all generally universally considered LeBron James to be the defining player of this generation.
Yeah.
Could Steph Curry have something to say about that here?
I believe so. And that's not to discredit, obviously, what LeBron has done in the league and what he's still doing and his legacy. He set the bar extremely high, but you have to give Steph Curry a lot of credit, man. He's 6'1", 25-5-5 average in the playoffs, shooting over 43%. Back to the chip again, 6 out of 8 times. I mean, his resume, scoring title, the most three-pointers to hit ever. I mean, his resume is elite, so you have to put him up there.
Now, well, let's take a look again at the comparison with King James. And this is to be in this conversation, the lofty company. I know people will go sideways. The mere fact that we're talking about it is remarkable. But you see that 1-0 on the Curry side of it.
Yeah.
That really is the one thing people will point to and say, well, when the games were the biggest, he was not the best player on his teams in those moments. The Kevin Durant factor and all this makes it so complicated because it was almost like a cheat code when he got there. Uh-oh, VC's got a look on his face. Like something's making him uncomfortable. Go.
It's the one thing that bothers me about that is like he didn't show up in the defining moments, but I don't think that's true. I think he did. Can we agree? Yes, Andre Iguodala got the MVP.
200%.
But we all sat there like, wait, Steph. Okay, cool. Now KD was lights out. Steph took a back seat to KD to allow him to be the KD they need to win back-to-back years. And he showed up and he did what he needed to do. At the end of the day, I think Steph wanted to win championships more so than hardware. And yes, we on the outside felt like, man, he deserved that trophy as well. But, he's an unselfish superstar, and it was about empowering everybody else and making sure everybody else is able to do their job to be great to win championships. And now I think if they're able to pull this off and win these 4 games, he will hold that trophy. And it's not disrespecting LeBron. I think now you're saying Steph needs to be talked about for this era and generation like we do LeBron James. That's
all. And I totally agree with that. Like, and even like the years that they didn't win, right? Like 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
KD goes down, Toronto wins. This could have easily been 8 out of 8. We're not even having this conversation right now. So let's not take that away.
To be clear, KD got hurt that year. Otherwise, most people think they would have beaten the round. Why is Wendy laughing, by the way? I'm distracted, Wendy, out of the corner of my eye. Why is this funny to you?
I'm just imagining if LeBron was here right now and had a glass of wine in him hearing this conversation, the things that he would say would be unbelievable. I mean, on one hand, I have to say, if Steph Curry wins the finals and the MVP, when you talk about a guy with 4 rings, 2 MVPs, and a finals MVP, you're talking about the uber elite in the history of the game. You're talking about Jordan, LeBron, Russell, stuff like that. Like, Steph would be one of, 5 guys who's ever done that. But LeBron James would laugh at the concept that they're being compared like this because he would compare.
No, we're not comparing. Don't take our word.
We're not comparing the player.
We're comparing what they've done to win championships. We're not comparing the player.
With the two of their accomplishments side by side. I thought that
was a
comparison.
Let's get that correct for our viewers.
Tell me what we are, Pat Bev. If we're not comparing them,
in the conversation.
What are we doing? What are we doing if we're not comparing them?
We're trying to start gossip right now. That's what we're trying to do, and we're trying to get viewers in. That's what we're trying to do. But we're comparing a 6'1" guy to a 6'9" guy. I mean, you start there. You can't even compare that to start off. You know. So again, the terminology of discredit. You can't discredit LeBron. So we're not discrediting LeBron, but we're just giving Steph Curry his flowers.
At all.
That's it. We're just giving Steph Curry his flowers.
Let me get VC in here. I have a few thoughts. But go ahead, Vince. Go.
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying we're not comparison. We're just saying we're acknowledging that Steph deserves to be in the conversation. It's not a comparison of who's better. I'm not into comparing who's better. But the question was, do we think Steph deserved to be in that conversation with some of the elite with his resume and what he's done for the game since he's been in this league? And I think that's what we're talking about. And I think he does. He wins this MVP. That zero turns to a one. It's not comparing because at the end of the day, you could say 4-4 and LeBron has 4 MVPs. We're not comparing. We're just saying he deserves to be in that conversation.
To be clear, Wendy, what I'm asking is, if LeBron James is universally considered to be the defining player of this generation, it's not about who's a greater player, but the definition of when we look back on this, this is the LeBron era of basketball. Is Steph Curry putting himself in a position where he could change that? I'm not comparing them as players. I'm comparing their accomplishments and their legacies. It's a reasonable question to me, Wendy.
Steph Curry is one of the greatest players of all time. I would argue that he's one of the top 10, 12 greatest players of all time. I don't want to be pinned down on that because they have to fight on each one. All of those things are true. His resume is untouchable. I'm a humongous supporter and believer in Steph Curry, and this is the LeBron James era.
Fair enough. Maybe we could all agree Steph Curry is the best player of the LeBron James era. Okay? Steph Curry is the greatest player of the LeBron James era of professional basketball.
I think when you put it like that, I think you're still discrediting Steph Curry. I mean, he might play until he's 39, 40 years old, and I hope that he plays more. It's a chance that he still can win multiple championships still.
Right.
And that window for LeBron James is closing, obviously, if they make some trades and stuff on that side, but we're just giving Steph Curry his flowers.
Right.
If this is Wendy, and he was over here shooting all these threes and taking this team to the finals, we will get Wendy his flowers.
Correct.
Wendy will want his flowers.
Right.
That's all we're doing right now.
Understood.
We're not discrediting what LeBron James done for the game. Everyone knows what LeBron, he's changed the game. We're just giving Steph Curry finally, we're just giving him his flowers.
Steph Curry, to some degree, has changed the game as well. All right, we're going to have more of this later, and Stephen A. will jump in on this. But there's something else I need to do, Pat Bev, with you here.
Talk to me.
In the Eastern Conference, Wendy's in Boston, and I'm meeting him there later today as the Celtics are looking to earn their first trip to the finals since 2010 in Game 6 tonight against Miami. Boston 40-4 all time when leading 3-2 in a best of 7. I want you to hear what Draymond Green said on TNT last night after the Warriors clinched. Go.
Who would you like to play?
I mean,
be honest.
I think both teams are tough. Boston causes problems, especially offensively.
Draymond.
Their defense is incredible.
How long we been boys, Draymond? I want the honest answer, Draymond.
You're asking me who I want to play. I'm going to tell you who I think we're going to play. We're going to play Boston.
Okay.
That's who we're going to play.
Thank you. That's the Draymond I know.
We're going to play Boston.
So he's giving predictions, and Caesars thinks he's right. They're Celtics an 8.5-point favorite for tonight's Game 6, largest line of this series so far. So we do a little feature here, Pat Bev, which is called Tell Me I'm Wrong.
Okay.
So I'm going to make a statement, and I want to see if you want to tell me that I'm wrong. Because a little birdie whispered in my ear something you said on the radio yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm going to make the following statement. Not only are the Celtics going to win tonight in advance of the finals, they're going to win 4 more games after that, and they're going to beat Golden State for the NBA championship this year, Pat Bev. Tell me I'm wrong.
You need to be drug tested.
Drug tested?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because you're absolutely wrong.
How is that?
Because obviously we see Golden State, and we understand their excellence throughout the last 8 years. Easily could have been 8 championships. easily. Something wild. So you can't just, I'm going to just leave it there. You just can't discredit that.
No one is discrediting Golden State at all, but I think you're discrediting the Celtics, how good they are, defensively. As a little side note, if I have a vote, which I don't, I would vote Robert Williams, the MVP of this series, because I think his presence has been extraordinary. And if he had played game four, I think the series would already be over. I think that we are, in this case, you are discrediting how good the Celtics are defensively. You're a defensive specialist, Pat Bev.
Listen. I had Miami winning it, so I've been totally wrong. I have no problem saying I'm wrong. That's the biggest thing with me. I just really like Golden State. I like Western Conference basketball. I've been in the Western Conference my whole career, so maybe I'm a little biased.
Okay, maybe let's Vince Carter played for every team in the NBA in his career,
sir.
So he has no bias. VC, Stop how it. About you? I'm saying the Celtics are going to win the championship. What are you saying?
Greeny, I still think Golden State can win it, but here's the thing. It's availability, and Pat Bev has talked about this. A lot of guys have talked about this. It's just availability. You know, they're going to need Robert Williams and Marcus Smart to be available every game. I think, you know, like you said it, Greeny, when he's available, and if he was there for that one game, for whatever game that was against
four.
The Heat, they probably win that game. So they got to make – yes, four. They need to make sure they can keep – Robert Williams as healthy as possible because, yes, he is a difference maker, as well as Marcus Smart. I know he's had the little nagging injuries where he's missed the game, and they still have done well and kicked the beat. But if they can keep these guys healthy, this will be a great series. If not, I think Golden State will take advantage of not having Robert Williams in the
Pardon me, I misspoke. It was game three that he missed. That was the first of the two in Boston,
okay.
And that was the
okay.
game that Adebayo went crazy. Either way, the point remains. Wendy, how about you?
Yes.
Well, if they get one more win against the Heat, and if they don't, I'll never forgive them because I need this weekend off, Greeny. I just want to be clear about that. But assuming that the Celtics do get one more win here, this is the unstoppable force against the immovable wall because the Celtics have one of the greatest defense they've had in the history of their organization. Hembo, look this up. The last time the Celtics were number one defense in the entire NBA and reached the finals, 1966, there was a guy playing center named Bill Russell. Maybe you heard of him. He's on the list that Steph and we were debating LeBron is trying to get on. And they handled Durant and Kyrie in the first round. They handled Giannis in the second round. This round, the Heat are diminished, and they're having trouble breaking 80 points. I absolutely will tell you how wonderful it is to watch the Warriors nonstop moving, nonstop attack offense. You have to give some respect to the beast that this Celtics defense is. One of the reasons the Heat are shooting so bad, they are running their plays. They cannot get open. So we, in that situation, will have the greatest team I've ever seen at getting players open against the greatest floor coverage team I've probably ever seen in the Celtics. That is the matchup that we're probably headed for.
Pat, let me just throw out to you. If that is indeed the final series, and let's give Miami the credit they deserve, they certainly have an opportunity to try and come back. But if that is the final
series.
Very
small opportunity.
I happen to agree with that. I think they're just beaten down. But if you, if that is the championship, Celtics-Warriors, there will be one first-team All-NBA player on the floor, and he's on Boston. I get that all these great names are on Golden State, but Tatum this season was the best player who would be on that floor, and if he's healthy to go, and they will get 5 days rest here, which they desperately need based upon all these injuries and everything else.
Well, first off, we don't know. When you say first team, we don't know if they're taking a first team. Is that for the season or just for the playoffs?
Because it was for the season. It was first team All-NBA for the season.
Okay, so why did the rankings just come out, I don't know, a week ago? They should have came out after the first round.
Well, they announced them at some point.
They announced them after the
But the voting was done. I know. I'm a voter.
Okay.
I know how it works.
So help me out because I didn't make a defensive thing.
He was first team All-NBA.
And when does the votes go in?
The day after the season ends is when they're due.
So why don't you guys put them out first round?
I don't have any control
Respect.
Over that. I don't know why.
Okay. What was the initial question?
Question is, why do you not believe the Celtics can beat the Warriors when you are a defensive stopper? You're like the 85 Bears of basketball, and the Celtics are winning with defense, and you're telling me they have no chance. I need to be drug tested because I think they could beat Golden State.
Just the rhythm. They got guys in and out all the time. Just the rhythm. Obviously, you said 5 days to give them time to get healthy. But Golden State is just getting started. I mean, we've seen 4-1, 4-2, 4-1. You know, we've seen, you know, a banged up team get healthy on the rise up to the to the championship. So, you know, I just think rhythm is a real thing.
All right, let me leave this here for the moment. We will have much more on this. Again, Stephen A. is on the way. A reminder, we have Game 6 tonight here on ESPN. Wendy is there. I'll be joining him tonight for Countdown. It's 8:30 is tip-off tonight. We'll do Countdown 8 o'clock Eastern. Oh, excuse me, 7:30 Eastern. We have 60 minutes tonight to get things ready for you for tonight's Game 6 as the Celtics try and put it away and the Heat try and keep themselves alive. In the meantime, another huge story in the NBA today. All signs point to Zion being healthy and ready to go for the start of next season. So why is his future a huge question mark? And why does Pat Bev not seem to know who he is? We'll find out next. We are back on Get Up, and when last seen on a basketball court, Zion Williamson was doing that, dunking a little bit in a
That's my guy, Corey Brewer. I played with him.
Yeah, and you're not so familiar with the fella here doing the dunking?
I've seen Corey Brewer more than I've seen Zion. No.
That is a problem, right, for a young man who's supposed to be a future superstar in the NBA. Well, there was some good news on him yesterday. He has been cleared to return without restrictions. What exactly does that mean? Let's find out. Brian Windhorst, set the scene for us here. What should fans know about this news that Zion has been cleared?
Well, it's huge. He hasn't been able to play full five-on-five basketball in almost a year. We really don't know how long because the Pelicans and Zion have never told us when he actually broke his foot. So this is a big step. But the big drama this summer is about Zion's contract. Now, at the end of the season, when he spoke to the media, he said that he would happily sign an extension when it's put in front of him. But it's not that simple. Because any player in his situation would sign a five-year guaranteed max contract. But from what I have been told, the Pelicans at this point are not willing to offer a full five-year guaranteed deal. And a lot of it is flowing down from ownership. Gail Benson, the owner, is also the owner of the New Orleans Saints. And I have been told they are going to take a football-style, Saints-style mentality with this contract negotiation. They will offer him a huge contract, but will not guarantee all of it. If Zion accepts those terms and still protects himself and maybe gets $100+ million guaranteed, he signs it and everything's fine. If he doesn't sign it and wants the full things guaranteed, we could have some drama into the fall.
Yeah, it's fascinating because we've wondered for so long, well, will he want to stay in New Orleans? And I think that question has to some degree been turned around. You're in the league now, Pat Bev, and you know, you're around it all. What is your perspective on the Zion situation here?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with their medical team. I'm not really familiar with Zion, and so I really can't speak on it like I know the kid or I know the organization.
No, but being
that
on
well.
The floor, what you know, and that sort
I haven't played against him.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
But you've seen it. I mean, you see what he's capable of, and then you see some of the videos. And look, it's impossible not to notice in the video that we showed you a moment ago, Cindy. When you have a chance, re-rack the first video we showed of him dunking in the in the practice here. It's impossible not to notice how big he looks. Quite candidly.
I played against him one time since I've been in the NBA.
Yeah, and so. Just look at that guy there. I mean, that just jumps off the screen at you, right? Yeah. You can't help but notice that. Vince Carter, how much of a concern is that right now?
The concern for me is, if I'm sitting next to Zion, I'm telling you, hey, get yourself together, get healthy, get your weight under control, because you're an important piece to this franchise. And if you choose or want to move on, well, you need to get right so you can do what you need to do to have that leverage. Until then, it's just, it's great to see him do all the dunking, but if the doctors are saying, hey, let's just wait because of the future, I throw around is longevity. You want to stick around and play this game as long as you can. And he has that ability. But right now, I mean, I know we have to be saved from ourselves sometimes as athletes. And he's showing that, hey, I can play because he wanted to get on the floor. But, I understand the organization side. They want to protect themselves as well. So for Zion, he needs to do everything he can to get his body together and prove why he should earn the money he should earn or be moved on.
You know, Wendy, I want to come back to you on this quickly because, the stage that you're setting for us here is of a little bit of a showdown. And frankly, I have nothing against Zion. I want nothing but health and happiness for the young man. But if I'm sitting in the seat of having to bet my livelihood, if you will, on that guy being fully healthy and able to participate for the next 5 years, I don't think I'm willing to do it. Wendy, what do you think here?
Yeah, it's somewhat comparable to the Joel Embiid situation in Philadelphia. If you remember, he basically missed two of his three first seasons there. But the the Sixers were so convinced Embiid was going to be a star, they were willing to give him a max contract, but they weren't willing to guarantee all 5 years. They had triggers in there, the games played, would mean more guaranteed money, like with a football contract. Embiid signed it. He ended up making all his money. He's gone on to be a stud. He's extended for $200 million. That is the stance that I believe that the New Orleans Pelicans are going to take. And really, from what I understand, it's not even about the Pelicans. It's about ownership. It's about them, you know, saying, look, we have to make decisions on football players all the time that we're worried about their injuries. We'll guarantee them a certain amount of money. And if they play, they can have all the money. And that's what's going to be presented. And if maybe a guy like Zion would say, listen, I'm going to have a long career. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to sign this make good contract. Maybe he won't. But if he doesn't sign it and he goes into next year in the last year of his contract, we're going to hear about this all next season.
Give me a final word, Pat Bev. What do you think?
I pray the kid gets healthy.
Yeah.
Obviously, his team, they need him. The game wants to see his success in the NBA. And Joel Embiid should have been on first team All-NBA.
Okay. I happen to agree with that. I voted him first team All-NBA. Yeah,
I wonder who didn't. I'm trying to see who didn't.
It's not me you're yelling at. Okay, we will have more on this as we go. Again, Stephen A's on his way in here.
We'll get
his take along with the rest of our crew on all of this. The Warriors being back in the finals. Plus, what's going to happen tonight in the East. Plus, Zion and a whole lot more. We're jam-packed. Stay with us. It's Get Up on ESPN.